Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So nice to see all the brethren again. Yes, so nice to see all the brethren again. And I am grateful to God for the church of God going on, marching on. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Okay, hallelujah. Hallelujah. When I say praise the Lord, then you say hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, that's good. Awesome. Sorry, my family, we're supposed to be here together, but in our church, we have a global outreach. Our general superintendent, so he's doing global crusade this week. So because of that, I just rushed from there to come over. They were doing global choir recording, which will be played. So it's been a busy day for all of them, all the kids, everyone involved. So, and our general superintendent has also visited different countries. Like sometimes he was in India, and there was a great number of people coming, giving their life to Jesus. And he's been to Dubai, he's been to Philippines. He's also planning to come over here. Maybe when he comes, I will invite you. Come and see someone who is gifted with the word. We are just learning from him. Praise the Lord. And so, thank God for the opportunity you extended to me today. And as you want to look at the word of God, let's have a moment to pray for Holy Spirit to guide us. Let's close our eyes. Our dear Lord, we thank you, we bless you for the love you have for every one of us. And that's why you sent Jesus, so that he will show us the way to God, so that he will show us the path to live in this life, so that at the end of our life, we'll be able to see him in glory, and we'll be able to partake in the Lord's Supper and eat together with him on the same table. What a great privilege you are preparing for those who love you. And Lord, as you want to go through your word, we invite the Holy Spirit, the perfect teacher, to come down, teach us your way, and expound your way unto us, and grant us the grace to keep your word in our hearts, in Jesus' name. I hide myself behind the cross, take possession of me. As I open my mouth, Holy Spirit, fill it up and bring the word that will bless both the hearer and the speaker, that every one of us will be blessed together looking at your word. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name I've prayed. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You get it. Now today we are looking at living in the light of eternity. And living in the light of eternity, you know, every man that is born of a woman will live forever. But this knowledge is not known to everyone in the world. You know, some people just feel like, let's live everything, let's enjoy everything, and then we die and that's the end. But the life after this life is the span of it is eternity. It has no end. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we're going to let's take a text from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. Sorry, how many minutes do I have?
3 minutes. Take a minute. No? We say the
knowledge
of 3 p.m.
So. Oh, okay. I will not take it. Okay, thank you. Okay. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. Please open your Bible. I like to read it in my Bible when someone is preaching to me. So, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. I'll read. The Bible says, He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, He has set the word in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. This place is telling us God has made everything beautiful in His time. If you look at the creation, actually, God created everything before He created man. So He has made everything abundant, available, before He now say, okay, now man, take possession and start enjoying all that God has created. If you look also in, I'll come back to this, you can put your hand there. Let's look at Psalm 139 verse 14. Psalm 139 verse 14. I wish we can read that together. Your version, I'm using King James, so bear with me if it's different from your version. So can we read it together? Psalm 139 verse 14. It says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. It says, I will praise thee, because I am wonderfully and marvelously created. Now, what we call man, that if you look back in the Garden of Eden, it's from the dust God created man. But the different, the significant thing about man, about us, is that God breathed himself into man. And that's why man became a living soul. And thank God for our brother that was sharing. In the garden, man lost it because of disobedience. Man lost it because of disobedience. But by the grace of God, all of us here, I believe that you have connected back to God. And as you connect to God, keep living, because what is ahead of you is greater than what you can imagine. The Bible says, eyes have not seen what God is preparing for those who love Him. If He says, eyes have not seen, you cannot describe it. No man can describe it. But keep following step by step, step by step. And then eventually, like our brother said, your appointed time will come to see the Savior. And you come before Him and you see the wonderful place He has provided for you. And you say, Lord, if not for You, where will I be? I pray that the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. According to a new analysis of more than 1,005 papers, the average adult male human being has around 36 trillion cells. 36 trillion cells. And if you look at the adult female, an average of 28 trillion cells. And God was there and fashioned this, joined them together, and then it's working. You can see different cells, but multiple of them working together to form us. In this passage, we will look at the meaning of eternity. Like, look, this me and you, what is ahead of us, we want to look at what is eternity. What can we gain from it? How do we prepare for it? Because if we know that we're going to live forever, then I think it's very important we focus on it so that it's not going to be a surprise. We know we are going to live forever, we prepare for it, and we end up in the blessed place that we desire. Yeah, the sad thing is that many are living reckless life today, because like I was preaching to one man, I said, look, thank God for sparing your life to this moment. He said, no. He said, yeah, my life is in my hand. If I like, I can take it. I said, no, you're making a mistake. Even if you take your life, if you kill yourself, your life, that breath of God in you, is going to continue forever. Only a change of state. So, now, let's look at this study under three. Are you with the computer? Can somebody help me control this?
Yes.
Yeah, I'll just say, you need to go to the next slide. Okay, let's look at this. So, today we're going to look at what is eternity. And you know, when you understand that, you know how you prepare for it. When does eternity begin for us? And then the last one, we look at what to do to enjoy eternity. So, and for the sake of time, we just go through them briefly. What is eternity? You can go to here. Yeah. Click again so that all the page is full. Yeah, so the way the slide. Okay, yeah, that's good. So eternity is defined. I look at the dictionary. How does the contemporary world, how do they define eternity? And then we're also going to look at the scripture. Eternity is defined as infinite or unending time, a state to which time has no application. Timeless, can call it endless life. You know, I was asking my brother, how many minutes do you want me to spend? Eternity does not have, you know, clock or time. The concept of day and night is just not there. And that's not in our world today. That's the world we are today is based on time. We know the time we got here, and we know the time we're going to live here. And then we know it's night. Oh, another day is come, because the time keeps going. But in eternity, that time that keeps going and makes us to get old. I can say I look at some of our brethren here. I can see gray hair. We were young before, but now gray hair is coming, because the time in this world where we are, time is working and then aging. New car last year, 2 years, 10 years ago, now it's become old car. It's old car. Now we need new, you know, because of time, things fade away. And that's why people of the world, they set all these things in their heart to preoccupy their heart and no place for God. But for people of God, we will set God in our heart. And all these fading things, we use them, but they are not our God. They are not directing us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, God has no beginning and no end. Yet, He is the beginning and the end of things. He was never created and is never able to experience death. And that is the same God that breathed on us and we became living beings. Eternity is the time, is the life of an endless God. Like Jesus came into the world, and then after He resurrected, He's there in heaven. And He's there, He's going to be there forever and ever, waiting for you, waiting for me. Waiting for when the harvest of the earth will be over, and everything in this world we know is going to be burnt up in fire. That's what the Bible tells us. So let's look at, we've seen contemporary definition of eternity, endless. Timeless. Now let's look at this, some scripture passages there. You will see in Revelation chapter 1 verse 8. Revelation chapter 1 verse 8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, says the Lord, which is and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. When this place says, which is, and which is present, and which was, you can talk about Old Testament, or the God of Abraham, when He was dealing with them, He was the same, even now, He's still the same, and then, He's still the same, even in the future, is Almighty. Jesus says in Hebrews chapter 13 verse 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today and forever. The God we are serving is forever. It's going to be forever. And when we have come unto Him also, we share that attribute with Him. We are going to live forever. Now please look again in Revelation chapter 1 verse 17. And when I saw Him, I fell at His feet as dead. This was when Jesus was showing the glorious vision, Revelation to John. You know, John was a disciple, beloved of Jesus. And when John saw him, he saw the eye, because of our time we can't read all that. He saw the eye, he saw the leg, he said the only thing he could do was just to fall down like dead. Is this Jesus that I was resting on his bosom? Now is different. Glorious Jesus. Marvelous Jesus. Because he's now in heaven, not a man in the flesh. No, he's now in heaven, he's God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So he said, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I'm the first and the last. You can see he's saying the first and the last. The word of God is true. Cannot be, nothing to be added to it. God says he is the beginning. There are other passages there, maybe we might not read it. Like in Revelation 22 verse 13, he says, I'm the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Because before Adam was, God has been. In fact, Jesus was talking to the Jews at that time in John. He said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. They said, you were not even up to 50 years old. How will you be saying Abraham saw your day? And then he said, before Abraham was, I am. Praise the Lord. We are not serving a dead God. We are serving a living God. Now, another passage in Revelation 21 says, and he said unto me, it is done. I am the Alpha and Omega. When you look at that word Alpha, it's the beginning of the letter in the Hebrew. That is to say, he is the beginning and Omega is the last. Is the last. So, in life, even our life, God is the beginning of, is the source of all life that we see today. And then when on earth, when everything will be over, God still remains the same. Now, in Isaiah chapter 44, verse 6, yeah, let's read that. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 6.
Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last, and there is no God besides me.
Praise the Lord. Revelation tells us, Jesus was saying, I am the Alpha, I am the Omega, I am the first. Here also we are reading it, he said, I am the first and the last, there is no other God. So you can imagine those who are going through the world and they are bowing down to one image somewhere and they are, you know, they don't know the way. And that's why as we know the way, we need to pray for them. We also need to reach out to them, you know, share your witness. You have experienced new life in Christ, share your testimony with them. Because tell them, I know there's something you can relate with them. So look, I used to be like this before, but I met Jesus and then talk about heaven. Talk about heaven. Like when I was young, I was also following my dad to do, you know, idol worshiping. But one terrible thing that really put me in doubt. When I met with Jesus, I knew there is heaven. But when I was with idol, I never knew of heaven. It's all about you have cars, you become rich, you become big man in this world. But after that, what next? Everything is just blank. But in Jesus, everything is not blank. We know there are a lot of things awaiting the children of light. And that's what the Lord is preparing for us. Eternal life is knowing God and knowing Jesus. God has an endless life, not subject to time. And all of us who partake in his sacrifice, the blood, his blood has washed us, we are getting into, you know, getting closer to that endless time where we will be with him and we will not depart from him anymore. And there will be no temptation, there will be no trial, there will be no sorrow. Because in this world we live, you know, things happen and it's like, oh, very grievous, very stressful, but it says, in the new place we are going to, which is heaven, God is going to wipe all the tears away. Now, let's look at the second point there. When does eternity begin? This is very, very important just to understand the eternal destiny of man. When does eternity begin? We are created in the image of God, who has no beginning and no end. We all know that by the grace of God. We have the breath of God in our soul. That is why we are alive. And that breath of God is the life of God. Put it this way, man has the life of God in him, although he's a man. And because of that breath of God in him, he's going to live forever. Who can say that he has an input to how he was made? When we were fashioned in the womb, none of us had any clue. I didn't know I would be born in Nigeria. You didn't know you'd be a man. No input. It's just God created us as he deemed fit. Male, female, black, white, and different colors, and different in all the different nations, by his wisdom. Now, in Genesis chapter 2, let's see verse 7.
Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living person.
Praise the Lord. Can you see that? God breathed upon man to become a living soul. The Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril the breath of life, and the man became a living soul. And who is the man? You and me. We have the breath of God in us. The unbelievers outside there too, they have that initial breath of God in them. That's why they are alive. If that breath is taken, no one will be able to move around. Then let's see in John chapter 10, chapter 20, verse 22. You remember that word breath that brought up the life of Adam, that dust that God formed together become a man, moving around and having good fellowship with the Lord. Now in John chapter 20, verse 22. Do you see the same word there? Jesus now breathed upon the disciples, saying, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." Everyone that gives his life to Jesus, there will be a new spirit coming upon you. The Spirit of God will be upon you that will tell you this is the right way. You used to go this way before, you see, it will be telling you that silent small still voice. Don't go that way. You are a child of God. No, don't watch that terrible cinema or terrible TV program. You are a child of God. That inner witness is in every child of God. If you don't have that inner witness, it's a show that you have none of his yet. And it's never late. You can say, "Lord, I want you to guide me. I want your spirit to come in my heart to lead me so that I can lead a life that is pleasing to you." So Jesus breathed on the disciples here to receive the Holy Spirit. However, unlike God, man has a beginning, as he was created to live forever. Why? Because he has the breath of God in him. Every one of us, we have a beginning. If I say, "Christina, when were you born?" Although, look, you don't know the date, your parents told you. I was born also. I wasn't conscious when I was born. But when I grew up, they say, "Oh, you were born on this date." And I believe it. Every one of us, we have a beginning. Maybe that year you were born plus 9 months when you were formed in the mother's womb. If you go 2 years back, then you never existed. So we have a beginning. Human being, we have a beginning. At the time we were born. But God had been from all eternity. Let's look in the second slide. We are still looking, when does eternity begin? Just to understand, we are different from God. God has been before, and man, we have not been before. You know? You understand? We have not been before. If I say my age is, let me say my age is 55, that means if you take 55 away, I was born 1968, that means 1950, there was nobody like me because I just did not exist. You understand that? Yeah, we just did not exist. So it was after I was born, then I existed. But God was never born. God has been from all eternity. So now that I come into this world, God granted that breath of God unto me when I was in the mother's womb and I was born. That is the time my life begins. And then we go to this second passage here. You know what happened in the Garden of Eden against the eternal destiny of man? Devil, the serpent, the Bible says, was more subtle than every other animal there. He knew what was ahead of Adam. God would come down, fellowship with Adam in the Garden of Eden. Everything was just all there for Adam. And think at that time, Adam did not even need to sweat. You know, like some of you now go to study, doing assignment. Then when you finish all that, you start working. This work is stressing me. Maybe I need it. Adam will not even need to go through all that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But the devil knew that, and the devil came to deceive man. And at that time, when the devil came to deceive man, the main purpose of the devil was to destroy the eternal destiny of man. Oh, this man that just come into picture, we can say categorically that devil was older than any man. Devil was older than any man, but he knew what is the plan of God for these little creatures called man that God created. So these ones will have more privilege in the kingdom than myself. I will run after them. I will chase them. I will deceive them. I will sell a lie to them so that they don't know that you exist. I will change their minds to focus on other things that will not end them in it, that will not end them in good place in eternity. So devil told a lie to Eve, and then Eve also took the fruit and ate it and gave to the husband, and both of them ate it. And we know the story, that's in Genesis chapter 3. The man would not have been subjected to time or death if not for that incident that happened there. So the time, the clocks that we have will not have been there if not for what happened to Adam and Eve. I'm talking about that time of the death. No, it will have just been, Adam will have lived forever. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Adam, before he fell into sin, he will have lived forever. The human body, the way the Lord made all those cells, they will just continue forever. But unfortunately, because of sin that came into this cell God has created, into the soul, then man became subjected to sin. And look at in Genesis chapter 3, verse 22.
And the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. And now he might reach out with his hand and take fruit also from the tree of life to eat and live forever."
But up to 24.
"Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to cultivate the ground from which he was taken. So he drove the man out. And at the east of the Garden of Eden, he stationed the cherubim and the flaming sword, which turned every direction to guard the way to the tree of life."
You know, here God now drove away Adam and Eve. Nah, sin has come into your body. You cannot dwell with me. We also know when Adam and Eve, when they sinned against God, God will come in the cool of the day to have fellowship with them. But because of the sin, what were they doing? They were hiding. They will hide. God said, "Adam, where are you?" We never read of that statement before the fall of Adam. Anyway, Adam and Eve, they fell, and then God drove them away from the Garden of Eden. And even God places a flaming sword, lest they know the way. You know, from all the research that has been going on, no scientists have been able to discover where is Garden of Eden. You know, God just made, we cannot see it. Because I know it was in this world, but we cannot see it. So because of the fallen nature of man. And then if you look further there, God placed the man on the earth and God set a timer. Okay, you fallen? God set a timer. You're supposed to live forever. But now, there's a timer to determine how many days, years you spend on earth, and then you will receive the reward of everything you have done on earth. Now, if you look again in Genesis chapter 5, verse 27, we can see the timer working for man now. Methuselah, the longest ever to live, 969 years old. Brethren, let's face the reality. Did Methuselah have the same body you have and the same body I have? I want to hear. Same body? Can your body get up to 100 or 200 years? No, answer me. Do you want to live up to 200 years? Huh? You're not sure? No, I'm saying in our present time now, would you prefer to live up to 200 years and become a burden to your children or great children? No. You know what God did? God set the time to around that 900 for them. Methuselah lived 969 in the same body we have. It's the same body. But because of what man, the Bible said the heart of man is desperately wicked. God was looking at these people. If I leave them to continue to live up to 900, they were just multiplying evil, wickedness, evil. God, if you look in chapter 6, in chapter 6, verse 3.
Nevertheless, his days shall be 100 years.
God said, okay, look, these people, I don't want to keep striving with them. They are ephemeral, and I don't want to keep striving with them, but they keep going the wrong direction. Okay, I'm long-suffering. Set the time to 120. And if you look after that, you see that the age is just, Abraham lived maybe like over 100 and something, but not 200. None of them again live 300, 700, because God was setting the time. And why was God doing that? Because of the evil, that the fallen nature of man, the fallen nature of man continually imagine day by day. In fact, if you look at in verse 5, I'll just read verse 5 there, in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. Not just, it's evil today or tomorrow is good, okay. But the Bible says continually. Without Jesus in your heart, you will not be different from what we are reading now. Give Jesus a chance in your heart and live for him. Show it by the life you live, that you have Jesus living in your heart, and that will make the difference in this world that we are living in. Again, God look at it. 120, I think, it's still too much for these people, because they are just continually evil. And then if you turn to Psalm 90, verse 10, God said the time again, reduce it again. Do you see there? God said, I'll set the time for 70 years for these people. Yeah, they could get up to 80, but they could get, more than that a little bit. But God said, look, now I'm setting the time. I think on Facebook, I saw one person in Nigeria. The person asleep, I think, maybe like 160 something years. So the children were coming to do the birthday for that man. But when you look at him, you just see this is old. This is old. Maybe he needed to be supported to do. I said, wow. They said maybe death has forgotten him. But in Genesis, someone died at 169. That was too young. And then they gave 120, but now 70. So what we are studying, what we are looking at is because of the evil that man has been sold to do, the time of our sojourning on earth has been reduced to 70 or 80. You know, and even today, you hear people die maybe one sickness, 40, 50, you know. But the thing there is, the way it is, man that is born of a woman is bound to die. Whether 70 or whether 80, that is certain, is going to happen. And when you are in Christ, the next point will be explained that when you are in Christ, if death comes at any time, it takes you to a better place. It takes you to the bosom of the Lord. And if you get there, you will never desire to come down to this earth. But if because of neglect, not preparing very well, not following the Lord with all your heart, death comes and the person meets himself in hell, you will desire to come back to this world because that will be terrible. Hurt, agony, regret. This world will be better than that. But for a Christian, where we are going, this world is not a comparison to it. This world is just not to be compared to it. No one will get there and will desire, I want to come back to this world. No. You say, Lord, let me stay here. And the Lord will take us there in Jesus' name. So we can see that the time for man has been reduced to 70 or 80. Now let's now look at what to do to enjoy eternity. This eternity we are talking of is still ahead of us. Eternity, two destinations ahead. Heaven or hell. Those who give their life to Jesus and they are following Jesus day by day, not your parents looking at you, but it's your decision. You want to serve the Lord. Not your fellow mate trying to, I want to please them. No, no. Let them live the way they want to live. I want to serve the Lord. And you are true to that conviction, to that confession. Those who follow the Lord to the end, they will get to the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom of God, there's a lot of glorious things that will be happening. The Lord's Supper, Jesus told the disciples, he says, you will eat this thing in my Father's kingdom with me. And then there will also be marriage supper of the Lamb. The angels will welcome everyone. It's time, the marriage supper of the Lamb. These things are all in Revelation. They are all there in Revelation. So let us rejoice, for the marriage supper of the Lamb has come. You know, we have witnessed royal wedding, and you, in our worldly times, you will see how glorious you can say, those ones, they are lucky shy. But this one, this is more than glorious wedding. And you will be there, I will be there, as we keep following the Lord. Amen? Amen. 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 Okay, let's see point three. What to do to enjoy eternity? Regaining lost eternity through Christ. We can only begin to prepare for our eternity when we come to Jesus. We can regain our lost eternity through Christ. It's only through Him. No other name on earth given among men. By following Him in all that we do in this time-bound life. You know, John 3 verse 16, we all know it. Let's say it together. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life is another word for eternity. It's a life that will just keep lasting, will not die. We only have to die because sin has polluted our mortal, our body. And the wages of sin is death. But thanks be to Jesus, he has now gone ahead of those who put their trust in him. He has died, he has paid the price for them, and then he has risen up. So those who put their trust in him, even though we will die, it's not the end of our life. We are going to be translated into the kingdom of God. And there we shall be and be enjoying the... one day I was still trying to look at, in Revelation, all these wonderful things that are awaiting us. When I was putting them together, I got to Revelation chapter 21, where that place is describing the new heaven, like a square. In fact, I'm still stuck there. As I was trying to look at those measurements, I'm trying to put them in a shape, I was just like, wow, this is going to be a mega city that is live all through. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Look, eyes have not seen what the Lord, even though these few things we could see in the scripture, they are just a glimpse of what God is preparing. He even said, I've gone to my Father's house to prepare a place for you, a place for me. That means as I follow him, I have a place in heaven. As you follow him, you have a place in heaven. So focus your mind on Christ, on what he has gone to do for you, and every other trials, temptation, whatever challenges of this world, don't let them shift your focus away from the Lord. The devil is using those things to make it a little bit maybe harder for you, but keep your trust in the Lord. He will see you through or whatever challenges you go through. In John chapter 10, verse 28, Jesus says that I give unto them eternal life and they shall not perish. He said, my sheep hear my voice and they know me, and I give unto them eternal life. Eternal life, and they will not perish. Those who have come and they've taken the attitude of a sheep, the human race could be likened to goat. If you, maybe some of you in India, you see goat just roaming about the street. If the goat wants to eat your, maybe you put something down, you send the goat away, immediately you turn like this, goat is back there straight away, very stubborn. But sheep, sheep very tender, humble. We need to have that humble heart. While you are a Christian, don't throw away that humility, because it is that humility that will enable you to walk together with your brother, to walk together with your sister, rather than fighting each other. No, there should be no room for us to fight against each other. If my brother has a good gift in this area, your own gift should complement his gift. And let's bring our gift together to serve the Lord and to complement one another. In John chapter 5, verse 24, let's read that. John chapter 5, verse 24. What to do to enjoy eternity? John chapter 5, verse 24. I read over here. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. Jesus says, he that believes in the word of God that is sharing to us, that the preacher is preaching to us, that we read in our scripture, we believe it. He says, we are passed from death to life. That is to say, after we finish everything on earth, those words of God will translate us into the kingdom of God, because you are part of his. His seed is remaining in you. Then if you look again, it says in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life. Eternal life. Eternal life is a gift. It's not something you can say, oh, I want to buy. The only way you can say, oh, you want to buy it, is not your dollar, it's not your money, it's your humility to come, bow before him, confess whatever you have done wrong, and accept him. That is the only way. You can't pay any money for it. You know, you can't pay any money for it. It's a free gift that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, I will read that. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13.
These things are written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life.
Praise the Lord. Let me read also here. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. You have believed in the name of the Son of God. It says, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Praise the Lord. He says, everyone that put their trust and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. Eternal life. The Lord Jesus is the source of eternal life. He's the author of eternal life. And so, when we live our life on earth for Him, then when the life on earth is over, we just enter into eternity to spend eternal, everlasting life with Him. I will go to the next slide before we have a short prayer together. So in Galatians chapter 6, verse 8, Galatians chapter 6, verse 8.
For the one who sows to his own flesh, will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit, will from the Spirit reap eternal life.
So those who sow to the flesh, they do not have anything to do with Jesus. Yeah, they will reap corruption at the end. But for those who are his people, you're following him, he says you have everlasting life. And we don't need to read that. Matthew 25, verse 46 also, Jesus was talking that on that day, he will say to those on the right, enter into the kingdom that is prepared for you. And then those on the right will say, he said, because when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you took care of me. When I was sick, you took care of me. And then they will say, when did we do this to you? He said, inasmuch you do the same thing for one and all little ones, all those ones that believe in me, you have done it to me. So let's show this love of Jesus among ourselves. Let's show it to people outside there. Let them see the love of God in us so that they too can come and partake of this eternal life that is ahead of everyone. For the fact that people are living out there, look, I don't believe all those things, it does not change the scripture. Once the time has come, they will finish their journey on earth, they will realize eternity is there, and it will be too late. You remember the rich man and Lazarus? The rich man was crying in hell, was crying, and Jesus did not tell us the name of that rich man. You know, because if you mention it, people will know. So he just used that to cover him. The rich man till now is still in that hell, crying. But Lazarus is in the kingdom of Abraham, enjoying all the goodies of heaven. That is where we are all going to get to. I pray that the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Amen. In John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. This everlasting life, the beginning of it is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Put your faith in Him. That brings you into the fold of people that will spend their everlasting life with Jesus. And that's the best place to be after all this tumultuous stay on earth, troublous time stay on earth, temptations living on earth, to be in the bosom of our Lord Jesus Christ and spend eternity with Him. When we say eternity, you are going to live forever. That's the summary of what we are studying today. Every human being will live forever. What makes the difference is those who put their faith in Jesus and those who do not put their faith in Jesus. Those who put their faith in Jesus and they keep following, The word of God comes to you like today, maybe, oh, you realize something was wrong. You are humble to confess to God. There are some Christians that are hardened. That's not the nature of Christ. We are a human being. Imagine this. When we get to the car and we are driving home, you know that steering. If I don't think anyone will ever be able to count how many times you turn the steering this way and then this way and then a little bit faster or a little bit slower. You know, let your life be easy to be corrected by the word of God. You hear it today, now I need to improve in this area, I need to change this, I need to take more of this, now I need to do less of this, this is not helping me. Yet, our life should be that flexible, make it easy. Don't be like adamant Christian that they are committing sin, but the word of God comes to them, they don't change. Or they repent in the church, straight away they get out, they are back to their sin. When the end comes, Jesus will say, I know you not. But that will not be our portion in Jesus' name. Finally, only a life that is in relationship with Christ can be sure of eternity in heaven. And if someone miss spending eternity in heaven, then where else would it be? There is no purgatory. There is no middle place. That would be hell. And the Lord has not appointed us to rot. He has appointed us to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. So keep following the Lord, no matter the challenge, until we see Him face to face. And then we will now, all this preaching we are talking about, we will experience it. You will be there and you will see how beautiful the plan of God for human being, the plan of God for us through Jesus will be revealed to us. I pray that the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Now we have heard the word of God. Let's bow down our heads and commit ourselves into God's hand. Yes, we are going, you know you are going to live forever. I want you to tell the Lord, Lord, if you know Jesus, I want you to appreciate what Jesus has done for you. Because of the sins you have committed, you will have gone to hell. But Jesus bridged the gap. And now you have a brighter hope, a better hope. I want you to bless God for that and say, Lord, thank you for touching me. Thank you for bringing me to the fold of God's people. And then tell the Lord, Lord, help me to be truthful to you, to be obedient to you day by day, to follow Jesus day by day. And then tell the Lord that, Lord, on that day when I will have appointment to see Jesus, when I will finish my work on earth, I want to be in heaven. Tell the Lord, I want to be in heaven. Give me the grace, Lord, day by day. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Our dear Lord, thank you, Lord, for the word of God that you have shown to us. With Adam and Eve, they lost eternal destiny that you created them with. But thank you for another man that was sent in the form of your Son to come and pay the price for us. And Jesus now is the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey him. Thank you, Lord, for the appointed time. Your message came to us, and you brought us to the fold of God's people. Oh, Lord, as you have brought us in, we pray for that tender heart. We pray for that humility to continue to follow you, to continue to be guided by your word, to continue to be influenced by your word, so that day by day, we keep looking unto Jesus. Challenges of this world may be there, maybe joblessness, maybe sickness, whatever it may be, help us, our focus will continually be on Jesus. And Lord, help us to look unto Jesus until we see you face to face. We pray that all the grace that we need to shine as light in this world we live in, Lord, give to every one of us in Jesus' name. And help us, Lord, some of our friends out there that they don't even know about eternity, help us that we might be a blessing to them. We might share our testimony with them and bring them to the fold so that they too, they will become part of God's people. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for all that you have taught us. we pray that you write it upon the tables of our hearts, that we will not forget. Every step we take, it will lead us more, even to the kingdom of God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. God bless you.